I'm so glad to be here today. I've never thought I would be up here today preaching the Word of God to you. And so I find it's a great privilege that today I get to preach the Word of God to you. Have you ever gotten into a very stressful situation? I remember a year and a half ago, I was driving back from my friend's house. We had spent the night having fun and learning how to swing dance. Have you guys ever learned how to swing dance? It was really fun. I mean, I don't really know how to dance, but it was great. And as I was driving back, it was on a Sunday night around 9:30. Everything was going well. I was listening to my music, even getting into it a little bit. And as I was driving back, the 403 going east towards Hamilton, I noticed a car on the left peeking out a little bit. It was trying to look to see if anybody was coming. But in my own understanding, I figured, well, I don't think he'll turn left. I think he's probably just looking a little bit. But then as you may guess, as I continued on, he actually turned left. And then bang, he hit my right tire. And my tire popped and I went right. Not only that, but after that, I hit the car in front of me, another bang. And then, you know what happens, right? With the collision, the airbag just came out in my face, the two of them. And it hit my nose, and my nose starts to bleed. And I'm just like, freeze there. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I lost control. And so I do a 180, and so I'm facing the traffic again. But thanks be to God, they all stopped. And so throughout that time, I get out of the car, and I'm wondering, is everybody okay? I'm wondering about myself. Am I injured? Is my nose broken? I'm wondering about the insurance. What are they going to say? Is it my fault? What am I going to say to the police? In this situation, I was really stressed. I had a lot of anxiety. Nothing prepared me for this. But in life, it's the same way. We all experience anxiety. We all experience stress in some way or the other. Sometimes anxiety is kind of like that cloud that overs you all the time. Anxiety follows you around like that person who follows you around and pokes you in the back and you can't get them to stop. For some of us, it's an everyday battle. And so in the midst of the struggle for peace, we long for peace. And so today, I would like to look at a passage in Philippians chapter 4. And today, I would like to look at the question, how do we fight for peace? How do we fight for peace in the midst of trouble, in the midst of anxiety? Let us turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. But I'll be reading from verse 4 to verse 7 to give a little bit more of a greater context in the flow of the paragraph. So, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Let me read it, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to all. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul here is writing to a church in Philippi, and here he's finishing up the letter. He's doing a couple of exhortation and prayer. And in the verses before, verses 2 to 3, he addresses a conflict between Euodia and Syntyche. They were in conflict. We're not sure what it is, but they were in conflict. And in the midst of that conflict, he asks some of the believers to help them in that conflict. And then he writes, rejoice at all times. Let your reasonableness be known to all. And so that conflict would have created some, would have broken some of the peace that was in the church. And so Paul responds and says, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to all. And then he says, do not be anxious. I mean, as a result of this conflict, there would have been a decent amount of anxiety. And so Paul says, do not be anxious. But then how do you do that, right? How do you not be anxious in our struggle for peace and restoring peace? He writes this, First thing, in our battle for peace, we pray. Look at verse 6. It says, do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. By prayer and supplication. And so we pray. In other words, the first thing we should do in the midst of our battle for peace is pray. Now, why pray? Because often we see prayer as something passive, something that we simply have to do, something that you put aside for 15 minutes a day, you pray, and it doesn't really seem like God is listening to you. It doesn't really seem like God is there. It seems distant. And so in the eyes of the world, it seems passive, right? But actually, we pray because we pray to the God who can actually change things. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew. He writes, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We have a heavenly Father who loves to lavish blessing on us. Or sometimes we just, in the midst of our trouble, we don't even think about praying. We forget, just ask God, right? And so we pray because God is a loving Father. He's the sovereign I am. But often, to be honest, we doubt his goodness, right? Even in my own life, we doubt it. We think we can do it by ourselves. We don't need God. And then so what happens when we try to fix our mess by ourselves, trying to fix our anxiety by ourselves? We end up making a worse mess, right? Let me use this analogy. Imagine you have a closet, and in that closet, you put things that represent anxiety. So for example, you lose a job, and you're trying to fix it, and so you put it in the closet, you put it aside, you don't deal with it. Or whatever it is you experience, and every day, you put more and more in that closet. And then one day, you come to open it, and it just falls on you. Sometimes in life, it's this. When we try to fight it on our own, we end up overwhelmed by it, right? We don't know what to do. In prayer, we say, I desperately need God, but the self says, I don't need God. And so we pray because it's a heavenly Father who loves us, and on our own, in our own attempt to do it ourselves, we actually make more of a mess, right? But we also pray because it is a joy. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Prayer is a form of rejoicing. Do we see prayer as a form of joy? Often it doesn't seem like that. In my own life, when we come to pray, it doesn't seem joyful. I like what Tim Keller says in his book on prayer. He writes, a triune God will call us to converse with him because he wants to share the joy he has. Prayer is our way of entering into the happiness of God himself. In prayer, we experience God, we experience joy. Do you believe it that when you bow your knee, this is the most happy place you could ever be? The most joyful place. Speaking to the sovereign I am. And so we pray. We pray because he's a loving Father who can actually change things. And in our own, we cannot fix our mess, and it actually makes it worse. And we rejoice in our prayer. And so first thing, in our fight for anxiety, we pray. But also in our battle for peace, we praise. So we pray and we praise. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. and hear it with thanksgiving. God added it for some, Paul added it for a reason. He could have left that out, but he wrote specifically with thanksgiving. And so in our battle, we praise God. But isn't that hard, right? To praise God in our battle for peace, in our trouble. Most oftentimes, we would feel entitled to complain. And sometimes it's about the smallest things. Sometimes it's about work. We could, for example, last summer, I worked at a landscaping company. I was cutting grass, right? And I actually enjoyed it. I've got to love it. I loved it. But as I was working there, and I got to know some of the people, and one day, there was rain. And there was no thunder or anything, but it was a bit of rain. And the boss called us in, still. I mean, you should have been there that day. I mean, we worked, but, oh man, people were complaining. They were angry. They were like, I deserve better. Why am I working in the rain? And really, at work, whatever your work is, you could literally complain about anything. You know, the grass is too wet. It's too hot outside. My boss is not paying me enough. I mean, just think about it. We could complain about it. And so it's hard to actually be thankful in the midst of our trouble. Now, you might be thinking, okay, yeah, we know we're unthankful. I mean, yeah, we know, but should we actually praise God, right? Because for some of us, it's something a little bigger than just work. For some of us, we've lost loved ones. For some of us, something happened in our life that changed the rest of our life. And you're wondering, God, what are you doing in this? How can I even praise you? And inside, you just feel, I have a reason to be angry at God. And so why praise in the midst of the darkness? Because I find that God shines the brightest in the darkest of valleys. God shines the brightest in the darkest of valleys. What? Let me illustrate with a story. You may have heard of the famous hymn called It Is Well With My Soul. It was written by a man named Horatio Spafford in the late 19th century. And he was a very successful lawyer in Chicago. He married the woman of his dream. He was a Christian, brought up in Scripture, loved God, had four daughters, and one son. And then one day, everything changed. One day, his son died. And not only that, there was the Great Chicago Fire, as you may know, and it nearly destroyed all of his business. And that's not even the top of it. Late in 1873, he decided with his family, let's go to Europe. But he had to stay behind because he had a couple things to do. And so he sends off his wife and his four kids now across the sea, the Atlantic Sea, by boat. And then a couple days later, he receives a telegraph. And on it, it said, saved alone. It was from his wife. And then again, it went on to explain that the boat wrecked. And in that wreck, his four daughters died. I mean, in that situation, some people would just say, curse God and die. I mean, that's the reaction that some of us would have, or the world would tell us. Why are you worshiping God? Just curse him and die. What's the point of living? Just curse God and die. But in the midst of that, he takes a boat to go see his wife. And on the same sea that his four daughters died, he writes these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Look at what it says. Whether it is in the peace of the river, whether it's in the sorrow of the sea below, whatever God gives me, God has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How could you even praise God in this situation? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. How could something so terrible, with so much pressure, lead a man to write this beautiful piece? Out of the pressure was created a song of praise. Out of the pressure are created diamonds. And sometimes the most beautiful pieces of art come from the ugliest situations. And so we're wondering, how did he write this in the midst of this darkness? Well, look at what it says. In the midst of our prayer and praise, there's something new, supernatural that happens. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we pray and praise, we actually receive the peace of God. But often we have a misunderstanding of this peace. Sometimes we think peace is only found in the tranquility, in the peace. We often have this image of peace as like a dove. Now that's part of it, right? It's in the midst of the calm, you know, hanging out on the boat, on the water. But peace is not only found in the quiet, but peace can be found in the middle of a storm, in the eye of a storm. If you know anything about storms, the eye is the middle. And in the middle, it's actually the most peaceful place you could be. And so the peace of God is not only found in the quiet place, but it's also found in the middle of the fight. In the middle of the battle, in the middle of the struggle, God gives us this peace which surpasses all understanding. But what does it mean that this peace surpasses all understanding? How do we get that peace? Well, look at the verse, verse 7, right? It says, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. In Christ we find this peace. It is through Christ that we have peace. Why? Because of what he's done. Do you know today what Christ has done so that we may have peace? We just went through the Christmas season and we've learned that Christ, the Son of God, became a baby. He became human. He humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, the form of a man. And he was human. He experienced some of the most anxiety, fear-filled things that you could ever imagine. Take, for example, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before Judah was going to betray him, he went there with a couple disciples, and he told his disciples, stay behind and pray that temptation may not, you may not fall into temptation. And then he goes to his father in the garden, and he prays to his father. He says, take this cup from me. So basically, he wanted this cup. There was so much pressure, and the cup represents the wrath of God. I mean, in that, what God did for us, this wrath of God was about to be poured out on Christ, and that is a lot of pressure. That is a lot of weight. And even in the midst of that, he said, "Your will be done." And the text talks about how he was in anguish. Anguish is this extreme pain that we feel when we're extreme anxiety or extreme fear or whatever it is. And then it says that he sweated blood. And I think that's actually literal, because you can actually, scientifically, you can actually sweat blood when you're in a situation of extreme pain, extreme struggle. And so why did he go through this, right? Why did he go to the garden and go to the cross? Because upon him was poured out the wrath of God. Upon him, the weight that we carried on us, the sin, the anxiety, God put it on Christ. Look at what Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, and that was written a couple hundred years before Jesus. It says, he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wound we are healed. Upon him was put the punishment. Upon him was put our anxiety, our fear. Upon him it was put. Why? So we may have peace. We may have life. Maybe today you don't know Christ. And maybe today you not only need to receive the peace, but you need to make peace with God. That's my own story. I mean, that passage is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Because 8 years ago, God saved me. And when I grew up, I was a very anxious kid. I was really awkward. And that was just the outside. I was scared. I very shy. But there was something deeper. There was the anxiety inside of me. I lived for people's approval. I was like, what are they going to think about me? Like, and it carried a weight on my shoulder. And it was a weight. Because when you live for other people's acceptance, you die from their rejection. That's actually from a rapper said that. But when you live for people's acceptance, you die from their rejection. And so I had this struggle. And I remember, I mean, I would always get nightmares. And I was wrecked. That's me. I'm talking about me here. And then one day, a preacher preached the gospel, and I prayed, and I praised God, and I asked him to save me. And then in that moment, God gave me a peace which surpasses all understanding. Isn't he great? That's what he gives us. He gives us a peace that surpasses all anxiety in our battle for peace. We receive this peace that surpasses all understanding. And look at what it says. It says it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thinking back to the accident story I told you in the beginning, I mean, I went through a lot of stress through that. And I wasn't prepared for this. And in the midst of that, you know, I had to figure out how I'm going to talk to my family about it, how I'm going to talk to the police. I'm going to deal with all this. I mean, there was a lot of pressure. But in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of anxiety, I bowed my knee to the Father. And then I praised God. And something supernatural happened. I could actually smile. There's actually a photo that one of my friends took. And I was in the hospital, and I was just smiling. Right? It's kind of weird. But God, when I was in the car, I actually thought I was going to die for a little bit. I saw my life flashed. And I was like, am I going to survive? Because I was going at decent speed. And when I hit that car, I thought maybe I was injured. Maybe I had a commotion. I don't know what. But I thought maybe it was the end. But then in the midst of that, I prayed. And I praised God. And he gave me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so, in our battle for peace, we pray and we praise. And something supernatural happens. We receive the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, and it guards your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. But that's not even the top of it. Let me read
the rest of this section, verse 8 to verse 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. As you do these things, as you praise God, as you rejoice, as you let your reasonableness be made known to all, as you fix your mind on all these things, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, and everything else, and you practice these things, as you do that, you get God. We actually get God. Isn't that amazing? That's what happens. We don't just receive the peace of Christ, but we get God. That's why we pray for peace. In the end, we want to be with Christ. We want to be with the author of peace, right? And one day, we will live with Him forever. One day, there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying and anxiety and struggle. One day, we will dwell with God forever. Isn't God great? And that's why we pray. That's why we praise and we receive peace from Christ, because we want to know Christ. We want to be with Christ. Amen. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you took upon yourself the punishment that we deserved, and you've put upon yourself all the anxieties and the fear and the sorrow upon yourself. And upon that cross, we have peace. Because you've resurrected from the dead, and through that we have life, we have peace. And so today, help us to do your word. Help us to be changed by your peace. And ultimately, Lord, may we desire to know you and to love you. Oh, Lord, help us. We are a mess. Give us this peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.